Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on how to fulfill God's will, and this is just my second teaching in this series. Now, this teaching that I've entitled How to Fulfill God's Will is a five-part teaching, and it's actually the third in a series. I've done How to Find God's Will, five teachings on that, How to Follow God's Will, five teachings on that, and then this is How to Fulfill God's Will. We're just beginning that, and we've actually put all of these into a package. We call it a God's Will Package. And you get all three of those albums, either DVD or CD. And also, we're throwing in this DVD that has five testimonies of changed lives, people who have taken these principles that we've been talking about and have applied it, and they're seeing miracles happen. We've already used these testimonies in this series, so I won't go back through that. But, I mean, kings of, are not kings in Uganda. It's the president and first lady. I actually was present when they met with Leland Shores, our guy that's in Uganda, and they are impacting that nation. There's now somewhere around 500,000 people per week going through our discipleship program. It's gone all the way up into the presidency of the nation. And, of course, we have a story on there of people that are in India, people that are in South Africa. We've got another little DVD entitled Change Lives. And this is our television crew went with me on one of my trips last year to Uganda and South Africa. And we just had people come up and start telling us some of the most amazing stories. And you know what? I'd like to just play a short little DVD about Mark and Samantha Radia. This is a couple that heard me on television, but then they got this Healing Journeys DVD that we put out. They saw some of the testimonies and saw the miraculous results. And they said, why can't we do that? Very good question. And they just started believing God. And I mean, I forget the exact details. Hopefully all of that's on this DVD that you'll watch. But they have seen now something like 700 people healed, hundreds of people born again. They've actually raised up people under them that are going out in healing teams. And it has just transformed everything. As a matter of fact, some of my staff, Sean and Lisa Michaud, who graduated from our very first class in our Charis Bible College, and they've been in Russia and Venezuela and I forget all the places, Trinidad and many different places, and ministering in full time for over a decade now. They have left our ministry to go to South Africa and help follow up some of the things that have happened. So real quickly, let me just play this little DVD. It's an interview that we did with Mark and Samantha Radia, and then I'll come back and continue to talk about how to fulfill God's will.
Before I heard Andrew Womack speaking on God Channel, I was saved, a completely ineffective Christian, frustrated. I knew about God. And then I heard of Andrew Womack, a friend of mine, said, listen to Hannah's healing story, and I did.
It was the testimony of the little girl who couldn't eat, and her parents prayed for her when they got back, and they had the power and the authority given to them by God to actually stand against what the enemy was doing. We thought, geez, these are normal, ordinary people. Why can't we do that? Because God's not a respecter of persons.
And my husband started downloading all the sermons. We started listening. Basically, the way I can describe the transformation in the both of us is that we were plugged into religion and operating off a platform of absolute religion and no true reality of who God was. And we feel like we've unplugged from the system, and Andrew's actually done the unplugging for us.
It's impacted our lives so much that it's changed the way we think of life. It's changed the way we do things. It's changed everything. We've impacted our community in such a way it's beyond our belief. We've been driven to actually have a Tuesday healing meeting at our own house, where people come from all over the place.
We learn to command the body, speak to the mountain, We learned a whole lot of things.
We've seen so many people healed. About 700 in total is the amount that we've seen healed. We've taught 70 odd people to heal the sick using the power of God and things we've learned through Andrew. But there's nothing that we've prayed for that we haven't seen results from. Our lives have been changed. The lives of people that we know have been changed. The people we've taught how to heal the sick have gone out and prayed for people with bones out of place that have moved back into place. Miracles like we can't believe. Signs and wonders.
So I hope that blessed you. That just illustrates how that we have a huge potential. And God wants all of us to be out doing these things. And that's the reason I've been teaching on how to find and how to follow and how to fulfill God's will. You know, there may be some of you that watch that little DVD of Mark and Samantha and you think, well, you know, I could do that. Why can't we do that? That's the question that got them going. And now there are thousands of people's lives that have been changed within 1 year's time because one couple just stood up and began to start fulfilling it. You know, I really believe that most of us are living way below our privileges. I mean, if your life isn't supernatural, then it's superficial. God created us for something special, and most of us just aren't finding it. And so I pray that these television programs have been challenging you, that God has something bigger and better for you and how to find it and how to follow it. Now we're talking about how to fulfill God's will. And yesterday I used primarily the scripture out of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 that says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And even though I preach on grace a lot and say that God loves us independent of our performance, God never called anybody who was qualified to work for Him yet. None of us can fulfill things based on our goodness. God, by His grace, has given us a calling and a purpose for our life. But there is a danger that people think that because it's not our performance that God uses and calls us, that therefore our performance doesn't matter. And that's not true. If you've got to be willing and obedient. And if you don't discipline yourself and follow God and seek God, then Satan is going to come in and destroy you. It says over in 1 Peter chapter 5 that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And we are in a spiritual warfare, and Satan is trying to stop you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. And you can't give place to him. You can't become indifferent. You can't become complacent. So see, there's a balance to this. God, by grace, calls us and gifts us and has plans for us. And it's not our performance that relates us to God. But does that mean that our performance is unnecessary? No, you need to seek God and you need to study the Word and you need to go to church and you need to follow God with your whole heart. Because if you don't, it's not that God will turn away from you, but you will have Satan come in and stop you from fulfilling God's will for your life. Here's another example of this. The Apostle Paul was speaking over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he was talking about how that Jesus was raised from the dead and was seen by all of these people who bore witness to the fact that he was physically raised from the dead. And then he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And he's making reference to the fact that prior to his conversion, he actually was on the opposite side of Christianity, and he was persecuting Christians and even giving his assent for some of them to be put to death. And because of that, Paul says, I am the least of all of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. You know, I'm sure that the Apostle Paul had to deal with quite a few emotions and feelings because he just tormented the people that now he was embracing them and representing them. But prior to his conversion, Paul did terrible things. And so this is what he's referring to. And he says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So the Apostle Paul recognized that God didn't call him because he was the brightest and the best and he had done everything right. Paul was actually a persecutor. He was killing Christians. And Paul was acutely aware of this, but on the other hand, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when he says by the grace of God, what he's making reference to is that I didn't deserve this. I didn't earn it. It was the grace of God, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor that God extended towards him. But then he goes on to say, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So here's the Apostle Paul contrasting his previous life before he got born again, how he was a person that blasphemed and fought against the things of God. He thought in his heart he was right, but he was on the opposite side. He did these terrible things. Because of it, he realized he wasn't worthy of anything, and so he accepted the call, salvation, and the call to ministry by grace. And he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. But then on the other hand, he says, but this grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than them all. Now see, there's a lot of people that hear me teach on grace, and there's a lot of people that reject it because they think that I'm saying that you can just go live in sin and do whatever you want to, and it doesn't matter how you live. And so they come against me and people that preach grace, and they say it's sloppy agape, and they have all these little phrases to say that we're encouraging sin, and on and on and on it goes. And so there's people that reject grace because they're so legalistic. But then there's other people that have been set free by realizing that it's not their goodness, it's the grace of God, and they have received so much freedom that if you make any reference to the fact that you have to labor and you have to seek God and there's things that you need to do, well, then they take offense. So if you try and present grace in a balanced form, a relationship between grace and faith, you get the legalistic people mad at you because you emphasize grace too much. You get the grace people mad at you because you even mention that you have some accountability and that there are things that you need to do. But there is a balance between these two. And this is what I'm trying to say, that if you are going to fulfill God's will, you need to understand that it's not you. It's God. It's the goodness of God. Like Paul said, it's not me that's living. It's Christ who lives in me. And you need to find out who you are in Christ and find out about the grace of God. And yes, all of those things are true. But if that leads you to become complacent, where it doesn't matter if you study the Bible, it doesn't matter if you pray, it doesn't matter if you live holy, it doesn't matter if you treat other people right. After all, it's all the grace of God. You might find God's will, you might even start down the road and make some progress, but you will not reach the destination. You will not fulfill God's will if you just go out and allow Satan to have free access to you, because he's an adversary. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. And who is it that he can devour? Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you go out and live in sin, God still loves you. God's grace does not change because of your performance. But does that mean that it doesn't matter then? No, because if you live in sin, you yield yourself to Satan, the author of that sin, and Satan is going to come in and eat your lunch and pop the bag. Satan will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. You do not want to give place to the devil. And so again, I go back. I'm teaching on how to find, how to follow, and how to fulfill, how to reach the destination with the maximum impact, get your full potential released. You can't do that if you don't begin to start obeying what God told you to do. Man, that's powerful. You know, again, go back to my personal life. Let me use my personal life as an example of this. The Lord called me to the ministry. I started following that, and I've seen good things happen. The Lord spoke to me on July the 26th of 1999 after He had already told me to go on television. We had already made steps. We were moving in that direction. But He told me on July the 26th, 1999, He says, you are just now starting to fulfill my will for your life. I had been in ministry for 31 years, and yet I was just beginning to fulfill. Everything up until that point was preparation. And you know what? If He told me to go on television, and when I did that, it was a huge expense. Since that time, many steps have happened. Since we've gone on television, the response has increased dramatically. In our Bible school, we had to move out of a 14,600-square-foot facility into this 110,000 square foot facility, and now this facility has become too small, and we're having to take another step. And the Lord just supernaturally led us. I've already shared some of these things. I won't go into the detail, but I mean, we were looking for facilities here in Colorado Springs, trying to accommodate it with the least effort, the least expense, the least of everything that we could, just so that we could keep full steam ahead with the ministry. And it's like God just herded us up, shut us up, so that we had to go towards this place. It was just, it was so much cheaper. We got 157 acres with a beautiful lodge on it for $4 million versus we would have had to pay $20 or $30 million here in the Springs for bare land with nothing on it. I mean, it was a no-brainer. Somebody asked my wife, "Do you really think that was God?" And she said, "We'd have had to backslide on God to keep from doing this." I mean, it was a no-brainer. So my point is, see, the Lord started leading me in a direction, but then He led me to go on television, which was a huge step of faith. I could have just not obeyed what God said. And I could have said, "God, I just don't have the faith for this." And you know what? I really believe that God's grace would have been the same towards me. I believe that the Lord would have said that He loved me. God wouldn't have been upset. I could have stayed on radio. That's where I was at that time. I could have kept ministering the way that we were. And I believe that God would have loved me. God wouldn't have hated me. God wouldn't be mad at me. But you know what? I wouldn't have fulfilled His perfect will for my life if I had stopped along the way. And then every step, on January the 31st, 2002, He told me that I was limiting Him by my small thinking and that I had to start thinking bigger. And when that happened, I jumped from a 14,000 square foot building to a 110,000 square foot building. Did you know that the utilities on this building are about five times what my cost for that other building was? I mean, just the monthly utilities. It was a huge step at the time. And I didn't have to do it. I could have said, "God, I'm just not up to this." And you know what? The Lord would have loved me. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, Romans 11:29. And I believe that God still would have used me and blessed me. And I would have still loved God, and He would have loved me. And I would have had some rewards when on the other side when I get to heaven. But you know what? I would have been accountable, not just for what I had done, but for what He led me to do. But by the grace of God, I responded and I've taken these steps. Now we've taken this huge step towards this new piece of property, and we're again in a situation where we're going to have to believe God for all these things. But my point is, see, that just like the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, He called me. I am what I am by God's grace. But if I didn't obey and follow these steps, if I just took the easy way out and said, "God, you know, I just turned 61. Why don't we just slow down and enjoy things and semi-retire or do something?" And if I was just to want to do things, you know, whatever is the easiest and stuff like that, I could miss the will of God. So my point is, see, that God has extended grace towards us, but if you are going to fulfill God's will, then you've also got to obey. You've got to take steps of faith. You've got to discipline yourself. And you've got to spend time fasting and praying and studying the Word, not to improve God's attitude towards you, but to make your heart sensitive towards God, and also to keep a door shut towards the devil so that he's not able to come in and take from you what God's will is. And so this is really obvious. This is super simple what I'm saying, but it's amazing how many people, especially grace people, and I'm not critical of grace because I am a grace preacher, but there is a balance. You have God's grace. He gives you His plans. He leads you and He provides things, but you do have to obey God. You do have to seek God. There are things that you have to do, and this is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying. By the grace of God, he was what he was, but he labored more abundantly than any of the others. And you can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about how he labored. He says, in prisons above measure, in stripes above measure, beating with rods, in the deep, shipwreck, rejected, all of these kind of things. This is how he labored. He put himself out there. He did not just take the easiest road. He sought God and he followed God even when it cost him something. And brothers and sisters, I'm trying to get across that if you want to fulfill God's will on your life, then you're going to, of course, have to find out what it is. You're going to have to start following the desires that He puts in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be responsive to the Holy Spirit. All of the things that we've already taught. But you know what? You're also going to have to obey. God's going to ask you to do some things that are beyond yourself. If all you're doing is what you can do in your own self, then I doubt seriously that you have found God's will for your life, because God is supernatural. God will call you to do something that is beyond your own natural ability, something that causes you to have to depend upon Him. And the Lord is going to ask you to do things that I guarantee you it's going to be tough sometimes. Some of the steps that I've taken, you know, looking back at it, it looks great now, but at the time, I mean, there was no guarantee. I didn't know what the other side was going to be, other than just the fact that I was trusting that God was going to make it work out. He's going to ask you to do some things that potentially will look like it could kill you, like it could destroy you. And you're going to have to learn to obey God. And right now, I really believe in my heart that there's people watching this program that you have more direction from God than what you've acted on. You know that God has spoken some things to you. You have a knowledge of God's will, but for whatever reason, you aren't obeying. You aren't doing it. And you may have a million reasons why you aren't doing it, but I'm telling you that until you start obeying what God spoke to you, you are not going to fulfill His will for your life. So praise God, you need to make this decision that you're going to be willing and obedient. You're going to labor and you're going to see God's will come to pass. I'm out of time on my program today, but I am going to talk about this again tomorrow. So I encourage you to listen into our program then, and also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive all of these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Fulfill God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Learn to Obey, free of charge. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
You know, we have grouped these three teachings that I have on how to find, how to follow, and how to fulfill God's will into a package. We're calling it our God's Will Package, and we're also throwing in along with it this Destiny Stories DVD that has a testimony of five people who have found and started to fulfill God's will for their life. It will inspire you, and the teaching will equip you. And it's a tremendous deal. It's also a tremendous value. We've cut the price of this, I think, in half, or close to being in half, just enough to barely cover our expenses, because I believe that this is essential for every single person to be able to get this. So if you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information about it, and please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give a special invitation to any of you who are in full-time ministry, or for you to invite your pastor or leader of your church that's in full-time ministry to come to our 2010 Ministers Conference. It's October the 4th through the 8th right here in Colorado Springs. And we have Bob Yandian and also Bob Nichols, who always minister with me at this conference. And I tell you, it is a life-changing time. It's my favorite time of the year. We really recognize the value of ministers, how many people you touch. And ministers need to be ministered to themselves, and it's sometimes hard to find. Most ministers' conferences are more informational than inspirational, but I tell you, ours will fire you up. So make plans to join us right here in Colorado Springs on October the 4th through the 8th. You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net. There's much more than just classroom activity at Caris Bible College. Students participate in hands-on ministry, like the 36 students who recently went on a mission trip to Mexico.
Men will put up the tent in the morning. Women will go out to the streets passing out invitations to the tent meetings.
This CBC outreach to Mexico resulted in 112 salvations, 33 baptisms in the Holy Spirit, and nearly 40 healings with 14 outstanding miracles recorded.
17 children got born again that day, the day that I taught and offered salvation, and those same 17 received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well.
The students of Caris Bible College are ambassadors for Andrew Womack Ministries in Mexico and wherever they minister around the world. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.